Okay, it's recording. Okay.
Hare Krishna. The following is a translation of the lecture that Shri Gurudev gave on the radio show in Houston. Today, I will tell something in relation to Advaitvad or Mayavad. Some modern educated people have this conception that the meaning of the word Vedanta is based on the Advaitvad or the Mayavad philosophy that was preached by Sri Shankaracharya. And that the Shankar Bhashya or the commentary written by Shankaracharya on the Vedanta Sutras of the Brahma Sutras written by Sri Vyasadev is the only authentic commentary of the Vedanta Sutras, and that all the other commentaries are not authoritative. However, this is a total misconception. Sri Krishna Dvaipayan Vedvyas divided the Vedas according to their subject matter into four different parts. Then again, to show the different Vedic mantras are conformed to each other, to show the reconciliation between them, that they are not opposing to each other, he wrote the Brahma Sutras. However, since Brahma Sutras were very difficult to understand, for the ordinary people to make them understand the philosophy of the Brahma Sutras, he composed the Puranas. Again, for the ladies and for the people who were less intelligent, the Shudras, he composed the fifth Veda, Mahabharata. However, still, his mind was very disturbed. He was not happy. At that time, Maharshi Devarshi Narad came to his ashram and said that you have explained the glories of dharma, earth, kama and moksha, but in the same way you have not described the sweet pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, your mind is disturbed. You are not happy. Through bhakti samadhi yoga, through meditation of bhakti, you can see the pastimes of the Lord and then you should describe them. Shri Vyasadeva followed the orders of his spiritual master, and through these pastimes that he observed during his samadhi, he described them for the benefit of the general population. This scripture that he thus composed is called Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Puranas, the Srimad Bhagavatam is glorified as follows. Artho ayam Brahma Sutranam Bharatartha Vinirnayah Gayatri Bhashya Rupah Asau Vedart Pari Brihitaha. That is, that Srimad Bhagavatam is the meaning of Sri Brahma Sutra. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the conclusive meaning of Mahabharata. This is the commentary on Gayatri. And this explains the meaning of the Vedas, or even further enhances the meaning of the Vedas. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is the real manifester of the meaning of Sri Brahma Sutra, and this is a transcendental commentary on the Brahma Sutras. This Srimad Bhagavatam was composed by Sri Vyasadeva himself. This is accepted Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is accepted by everyone as the commentary on Brahm Sutras. In Srimad Bhagavatam, everywhere, the conception of Advaitwad or Mayavad has been defeated. I will explain some of those here. In his prayers to Krishna, Lord Brahma says, Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartam sthane stitha shrutigatam tanuvang manobhi ye prayasho ajit jite apiyasi tahi trilokyam. That only after removing the conception of Nirvishesh Brahm, such knowledge, and rising above the efforts to understand the Supreme by speculative knowledge, one should offer obeisances unto the Supreme Lord. One should respect and very respectfully hear the sweet pastimes of the Lord. Then the Supreme Lord, who is uncontrollable, will come under the control of such a devotee. Brahmaji again says, Shreyam Shruti Bhaktim Udasya Te Vibho Klishanti Ye Keval Bodha Labdhaye Tesham Aso Kleshala Ev Shishya Ten Anyat Yatha Sthul Tushava Ghatinam. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, chapter 14, verse 4. The devotion to the Supreme Lord is the most beneficial. It is capable of giving the love of the Supreme Lord. Leaving such transcendental devotion, one who, for the purpose of self-realization, takes shelter of concepts such as that Atma only is Brahm and Brahm only is Atma, that this world is false and that the jivas are false, one who preaches in such a way and makes effort to realize the Supreme Absolute Truth through such conceptions, his efforts are simply as beating Thotha Bhusa, which means just the remnants of grains. So not really the grains. So he does not get any benefit of such effort. It is further stated, Atma Ramascha Munayaho Nirgrantha Api Urukrame Kurvanti Ahetu Kim Bhaktim Ittham Bhut Guno Hari. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Verse 10. And the self-realized munis, those who are completely absorbed in Brahm, even when they hear the sweet transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Lord, they get attracted by those pastimes, and leaving their path of speculative knowledge, they take shelter of pure devotional service. Ye anye arvindaksh vimuktamaninah tu tvayah tat bhavat vishuddh buddhayah aruyah kritren param padam tatah patanti adho anadrit yushmat anghrayah. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Verse 32. Those who consider themselves as liberated, or those who are about to reach the stage of liberation, they're almost there at the stage of liberation, but because they commit offenses at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord by saying that the Supreme Lord has no form, he has no qualities, Such people, they are offenders to the Supreme Lord. And those who think that only Nirvishesh, Nirakar, Avyakt, Nirgun, Brahm only is the worshipable object, such people fall down from their state of mukti also. The main object, the main goal of the Mayavadis or the Advaitavadis is Sayujya Mukti. That is to become one with the Supreme Lord, to merge in Him. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described regarding such mukti as follow. Salokya Sarashti Samipya Sarupya Ekatvam Apyut Diyamanam Na Grihananti Vina Matsevanam Jana. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 29, Verse 13. That even if someone, if the Lord gives these four types of liberation, Salokya, Sayujya, Samipya, or Sarupya, to his devotees, they still do not accept it, because without the service to the Supreme Lord, the devotees do not want to even accept any kind of liberation. Vadanti tat tattva vidha tattvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdite. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Verse 11. Those who are knowers of the truth, those who understand Brahm Tattva and Bhakti Tattva as well as all the other transcendental truths or tattvas, such seers of the truth can have conclude or say that Krishna is Advaita Gyan Param Tattva, that He is the supreme transcendental truth. When that supreme Krishna is worshipped from a distance through Gyan, He only is perceived as Brahman. When we perceive that Advaita Gyan Bhagwan within our heart as a witness, then that is called Paramatma, who is Sat Chit and a representative of the Supreme Lord. But for the Supreme Absolute Truth, with all the attributes, the word used is Bhagwan. Krishna is Himself Bhagwan. Ete chansh kalaha punsa Krishna stu Bhagwan swayam Indrari vyakulam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Verse 28. Therefore, when the Lord is seen from a great distance or by those who are not very mature in their transcendental realization, they see only the light coming from the nails of His lotus feet. Therefore, in Gita Upanishad, which is the essence of all the Upanishads, it is stated, Brahmano hi pratishtha aham amritasya avyayasya cha shashvatasya cha dharmasya sukhasya ekantikasya cha. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 14, Verse 27. I am the basis of Brahman. Brahm is the light emanating, is the effulgence of my body. It is the light coming from the nails of my lotus feet. If the person is not there, then how can there be any effulgence coming from his body? Krishna also says that I am Amrit, Avyay, Shashwat, means eternal, and Dharam and Sukhs. Krishna says that I am the basis of Amrit, Avyay, transcendental peace, religion, and happiness. In Brahm Sangita also it is said, Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadand koti, kotishu ashesh vasudhadi vibhuti bhinnam, tat brahm nishkalam anantam ashesh bhutam, govindamadi purusham tam aham bhajami. Shri Brahm Sangita, chapter 5, verse 40. Lord Brahmaji is praying that Brahm, who is different from all the different vibhutis or transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord, that Brahm is the effulgence of Lord Govinda's transcendental body or vigraha. In the Upanishads, it is further clearly mentioned that there is no difference between Jeev, that there is a difference between Jeev and Parabrahm. Jeev, or the living entity, can never become Brahm. Nityo Nityanam, Chetanah Chetananam, Eko Bahunam Yo Vididhati Kaman, Tam Atmastham Ye Anupashyanti Dhiraha, Tesham Shantihi Shashwati Na Itaresham. Kathopanishad, 2nd Canto, 2nd Chapter, verse 13. He is the Supreme Eternal among all those who are eternal. He is the Supreme Conscious, Param Chetan, among all the conscious entities. He is one, but still fulfills the desires of everyone. Those who take his darshan, they are dhira or grave, and they only obtain eternal peace and happiness, no one else. Living entity is the eternal part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, how can the jiva become one with the Supreme Lord, in Shri, or one with the Brahm? In Sri Gita Upanishad it is said, Mam ev anshah jivaloka jivabhuta sanatanaha manah shashthani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse 7. The living entity is my eternal part and parcel. Living entity is living entity comes from the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord. Living entity is eternal. Therefore, it can never become one with the Brahm. In Shveta Shavtar Upanishad and other Upanishads also it is said, Dva Suparna Sayuja Sakhayam Samanam Vriksham Parishasvajate Tayoho Anyah Pipalam Swat Vatyan Ashnahan Ananya Abhichakashiti Samane Vrikshe Purushaha Nimagnahi Anishaya Shochati Muhyamanaha Jushtam Yada Pashyati Anyam Isham Asya Mahimanam Eti Vita Shokaha. Shvetar Shavtar Upanishad, Chapter 4, Verse 6 and 7. Mundak Upanishad, Canto 3, Chapter 1, Verses 1 and 2. The living entity and Paramatma, who is residing within the Jiva's body, these two tattvas are residing within the same body or deha, which is compared to a tree. The living entity is bewildered by the illusory energy, and therefore in his being controlled by the bodily concept of life, he is incapable of achieving any happiness and is therefore always lamenting. When he, by the mercy of a realized spiritual master,